here as we work our way through all of this. Looking at the Dow futures now, up 5 points, which is basically nothing. Standing the status quo. Global markets are edging higher, though, as fears over inflation, regulations, higher corporate taxes are waning a bit. I think that's because in the U.S., this $3.5 trillion spending plan that would create massive taxation is also waning. Joining me now, Craig Stiles from Ameriprise, Stiles Financial, and all of that good stuff. Craig, good to see you, as always.
Good to be seen, Steve. Good to see you as well.
So I look at this, and it looks like the $3.5 trillion spending plan could be dying on the vine. It'll probably come through as a trillion or a trillion and a half, still a tremendous amount of money and a tremendous amount of spending. But I was looking, and maybe you heard me talking about this earlier, 61.2% would be the highest tax rate for those living in New York City if this goes through. 59.7%, a bargain in California in some places. It is. Yep. I'm sorry. I don't care how much money you make. Giving more than 60% to the government because you're earning is just flat out obscene. But it seems that the markets have pushed this aside and they see positive things on the horizon, at least for today. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of other factors that played into it as well. We actually got notification regards to capital gains rates potentially basically increasing, our tax rates increasing. So that was something that was brought up on a rather short notice on some modifications we may have to make before the end of the year if we have clients that have significant amount of capital gains, if we wanted to realize their taxes. The unfortunate thing was that we received this information late on a Friday, and it would have been we would have had to implement by that Friday afternoon because that tax rate would have been adjusted on Monday,
right,
which was yesterday.
So hold on. I think that just so I'm clear on this, though, I think the capital gains proposal in this plan would take it from 20 to 25. Some people wanted it to go all the way to 39.6%, so at least it's not that, right?
Yep. I mean, correct. I mean, always looking for the silver lining. Too. That's wonderful.
You know.
But what it just highlights is basically ownership and making capital investments. So that kind of adjusts what and how people basically invest. Are they going to be investing in IRA accounts or tax-deferred types of accounts versus that of making capital investments outside of IRA accounts into businesses? And as you're aware, being a small business owner, most of their investments is into their business, and you want to get the value of your business to grow. And so you sell your business basically have a certain dollar amount put into it. You sell your business, that's going to be considered a capital gains. You buy some real estate, you sell that real estate for a gain, that's going to be considered a capital gains. And so the level of I don't want to say manipulation per se, but the level of tax liability that can be a burden on people making decisions and then acting on those decisions. So as we go through and are working with clients to manage their overall liquid portfolios or their liquid assets, we start to identify, well, where is going to be the opportunity. And so looking at what's going on in the markets in general, the tax policies that are coming down, that makes a huge play. If we had some clients that were looking at moving into New York during their retirement, they're thinking otherwise. They're thinking other locations. Florida's a big kick for them.
I don't think people are going to go to Florida. I think Montana has no state income tax, and you know, places like that, you know, the real estate markets there, as you can imagine, are off the hook.
Yep.
I was talking to people in Florida yesterday about the real estate market. They said houses that shouldn't be worth $200,000 are selling for $350,000. You know, and they're dead serious. And it's like it should be maybe $200,000. It's getting $3.5 million. The housing market just completely off the charts because people want to be there. If you're a high earner, right? And between state and local tax in New York City, that's almost 15%. You're not paying that.
Yep.
In Florida, so if you're making a decent amount of money, saving 15% on income tax, it's a huge raise right from the time you move, isn't it?
Yep, it is. I've had conversations with clients who moved from California that actually take a lower wage, move from California into another state, and they take a pay cut, but their cost of living would actually was so much lower that their basically the lifestyle was increased.
Right.
So those types of conversations I have quite regularly with clients, especially with clients who own businesses, because the next factor is if they don't need to be in a particular high tax state, what state would be best for them to run their business. Where can they get the best bang for their buck? And, of course, with a lot of the technology nowadays, that's where you see opportunities. That's where you start to see small to mid-sized companies that are growing and expanding. Do they need to be in a high-tax state, and can they benefit by being in a low-tax state? And then we start looking at where they generate the income. Are they sure. Are they going to be a subchapter S? Are they going to be an LLC or C-Corp? What's going to be the best option for them to take advantage of the current policy environment, current economic environment?
Well, you're
it's a fun conversation to have.
Here's another point. Let's say you're making $500,000 in a high-tax state,
mm-hmm.
and you move to a state that has no income tax, but you drop below 400, so you're not going to get hit by the president's new tax rate either. You could have a double savings,
yeah.
right? If you went, you're making less money, but your net increases.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. That's it. Just by the aspect of moving from one state to the next, you could have a huge benefit in many circumstances, correct? And that's where the federal dynamic is where the burden starts to come in, because that's going to be applied to all states. But just like you had mentioned, you know, if they can get below the 400,000 threshold, then that will be beneficial for an individual. So how do they do that? Where do they go about saving and preserving their wealth, passing it on to the next generation, or make basically working with their kids or their family, so their kids won't have to be, quite frankly, become dependent on the federal government for income, for their student loans if their kids are going off to college. How are you going to meet their needs?
And right.
It's interesting environment, to say the least, both on tax policy and then finding opportunities for clients during this inflationary period, because we're going to be getting hit with that too. So,
yeah. Time to call
quite
Craig Stiles.
A wide variety of things.
That's what I say. Call Craig Stiles, 517-483-4893. Craig Stiles, Ameriprise Financial. You can find him online as well. Craig, great input as always, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you as well, Steve. Have a great one.
There you have it. Craig Stiles, everybody. And, you know, you look at this and you go, what do I do? Run, is what he's saying. We'll be right back.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Each Friday, you can win premium play prizes and bonus entries into a grand prize giveaway. Visit SoaringEagle.com for details.
One of the biggest improvements for the Tigers this year is the quality of their at-bats when they're trying to come from behind in the late innings. They've really bought into this whole idea of pass the baton, keep the line moving. We've seen great at-bats against some of the best relievers in the game over the last several months. Grand slams and pinch-hit home runs in the ninth. Even a walk-off safety squeeze. All of the improvements were on display this past weekend against the Rays, who had the best bullpen by ERA and was the toughest to hit coming in. The Tigers scored 9 runs against that pen in a 10-4 win on Friday night, and then down 5-2 in the 8th inning on Sunday, scored 6 runs against Rays relievers to win 8-7 in 11. There isn't one number that captures just how much better the Tigers are in the late innings, but the improvement is real and a very good sign for the future.